Amen. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good to see everybody. Dr. Joy, that was tremendous. Praise God. Where are you? That was beautiful. Amen. The Word of God, powerful at communion. That's what we like to hear on the healing power of the presence of the Lord. It was tremendous, the testimony that Anne shared with from her daughter in the school playground. And that woman and the child completely healed. And we need to see the presence of God become manifest in our midst. This morning, I want to introduce something to you this morning. We'll not get through it. This is tied into what we're doing on the series we mentioned in December, November, December. And I'm tying it in because of something I came across recently. I had been praying, and Anne and I are working with the prayer network across Europe. And a number of things had been highlighted to me, and that's why what you spoke about, Dr. Joy, it really just confirmed what we need to begin to emphasize again from the Word of God is the power of God and the majesty of God and God's grace. Over the last period of time, in putting the prayer network together, I had a number of things, and I'm going to use the term concern, that in prayer, I noticed in a lot of areas and people praying that when they were praying, they were not really emphasizing God coming in power and might and strength and majesty in a Pentecostal, spirit-filled, charismatic, however you want to word it, manner for God to do miracles through their life. And I said to Anne, that in challenging and people in praying and believing God, we have to believe that God hears us and that God wants to do it. Or we become people who are just going through the motion, through the form, and that's not what the Bible is about. And before I come to this, I came across this article, I think, Manuel, Esther Akolesti. I think you should, maybe she's from the University in Toronto in Canada, but she's from Ghana. And she was teaching in the University in Toronto, and there was a gathering of a number of the ministries across Canada. And I'm going to read it to you because I just copied it off. Quote, it said, the following verses from Ephesians offer us a good composite picture of the language that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments employ in speaking about otherworldly realities. Paul's words suggest that Christians are embattled creatures. That's what caught me. When we think of the needs here this morning, there's a battle going on that's around us. Embattled creatures who require supernatural intervention to traverse this life, to get through this life, to walk through this life. So there's a battle going on here this morning. Around your life, etc. And I will not deal with this now, but in the month of February, I'll be taking the entire month, and Anne and I will do the table, and I'm going to do it a certain way in serving you. And in serving you, I'm going to do it differently because I've got two teams we're putting together. Because I'm going to believe God for you, for miracles, and God's presence, God's power, God's provision, and God's intervention. Those are a number of areas to take place in your life. Financially, I'm just putting it at the top because I believe it's a concern. We need financial release in people's lives. You need provision for your life to get through life in a healthy, strong way. With vitality to live each day. You need the presence of God to bring a peace surrounding your life in the midst of trouble. In the table. We've heard a part of it there this morning. That is provision that's been made for us. That's why it's a death, a burial, and a resurrection. A death to this life. A burial to who I am as an individual. But a resurrection to newness in life in Christ Jesus. Can I hear an amen? So tied into walking with God for the month of February, I'm going to ask God to release the power of the table into your life. I could have said the power of the pulpit. But that's not correct. Because I'm a fallen creature like you. But this is a risen Redeemer seated at the right hand of the Father. And he knows you. So now in February, watch how we're going to do it. A little different. Not the Western way. I think Pastor, some of them just left me right now. I'm going to do it another way. I would suggest most of you have never done it this way. Okay, Barry, keep going. This was the manner of being Christian, a way that was taken for granted that somehow today is being variously interpreted across cultural lines and worldviews. The church, the early church, took it for granted that there were other supernatural beings intervening in the lives of the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers and princes, and against authorities and against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. That's just verses 6, 10 through 12. The passage, which extends to verse 20, underscores the scriptural message that Christians are embattled and need certain practices to sustain their faith and life in the face of opposition from other worldly forces. The writer assumes that the recipients of the epistle already understand and take for granted the realities addressed. These words instruct about life, not just in general, but in everydayness of the navigating familial relationships and families, indicating that such concepts were in the social imagery of the Ephesian Christians. In Ephesians, the same battle as you and I, same thing. And the language of Ephesians, which is references to principalities and powers, it's world teeming with otherworldly spirit beings, angels and demons that can traverse the physical world. They can disrupt this physical world. All of a sudden, your life can be disrupted out of nowhere. You didn't do anything wrong. It just came in. Accords well with the whole of biblical discourse regarding otherworldly powers. Now, it's going to take us a little bit of time to get to the otherworldly powers. It'll take us a bit of time there. But let me just read this to you a moment. From Luke chapter 10, it says, the 72 returned with joy and said, this is the NIV, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Submit. He replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. I could give you a few translations on snakes and scorpions that will take you out of David Attenborough's world. That's just not to do with what this verse is about. Snakes and scorpions. We're speaking of a demonic activity represented by these names. That old snake, the devil, the serpent. So the language does blend itself across to the animal world, which is what the Eastern world used to describe this, and to overcome all the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you. You don't need to rejoice in that because it's already been given to you. But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Bless God. I want to end well, Lord. Many want to end well. Amen. For many, the word submit here, as I looked it up at the way it was written by the particular writer, and the word submit, which is a Hebrew word, hupo, which means under, and it's a military word. And it involves the training of troops to fight and to come under authority and to stay in rank. If you read Ephesians, the weaponry that's used is defensive. I don't go looking for a battle. Don't go look fighting. But when it comes, the weaponry is defensive.
God has made provision. In the Western world, the idea of the unseen spiritual realm seems uneducated or ridiculous. That's the Western church. Seems ridiculous. Has it crept into our churches? However, throughout recorded history until the Enlightenment, we're in the era of Enlightenment, whatever that's supposed to mean, people believed in an unseen realm that drove the physical realm from exerting influence over personal and family and domains to all systems of earthly governance or even forces, the forces of nature and the elemental world. It is modern arrogance, or perhaps ignorance, to consider belief in the spiritual realm as primitive or less informed, the Bible tells us, than modern concepts of science and causation. I'm not getting into the world warming up or whatever. Let me tell you something. Before we get into these matters, we need to find out the God who's in control of these matters. And you need to learn about the forces that disrupt these matters. That's what the church was written about by the Apostle Paul, who wrote about 11 books of the Bible, if you give him the book of Hebrews. We'll not debate that this morning. But in Paul's writings for 11 books of the New Testament, he continually underlines the work of the enemy in the disruptive nature to traverse across humanity and to come against the church and break relationships and break into churches to cause disruption to certain areas of your life, which allow me just to highlight as we just move forward. So in the month of February, we're going to do work with the table that will go out into your families, that your families could come to Christ, your families come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then in turn, through the work of the Spirit of God, through certain areas here, come to church and be established in the ways of God. As we, now watch the way I've done this, as we journey, walk, and travel through life, always remember that God, that what takes place, God will act in, and I'll come to it, he will act in, but I put the three colors for this reason. Some people journey through life. Come see, come sa, whatever will be, an old song. They just seem to just travel through life. Other people walk through life, tiptoe, what's next, what's going to happen next? And other people, they travel through life. Well, whatever happens, let it happen. We'll take it on, basically. But regardless of that, regardless, God will act in preventing it, as we looked with Abimelech, with Abraham in Genesis 20, or he'll permit it. You can see that with David. He permitted David to do things, not with Bathsheba, but in numbering the people. He can direct it, Joshua or Joseph. Or he can limit it with Job. If you take these four areas, all of us here this morning, we walk through these areas. We walk through them in some way. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. New Living Translation, the same verse. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power. The word that's actually used in the New Testament as it's written before it's translated into English is the word for power. Giving you us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The reason I put this translation up here is to highlight something I want to look at with you. You ready? Here we go. In the uncharted waters. I put the word uncharted in there because in years gone by with the sailing ships, exactly, they didn't know what was underneath. They had to watch the tides carefully. They didn't have GPS. Christopher Columbus did not have GPS. As a matter of fact, Pastor Jared, there's three things that stand out in Christopher Columbus's life. Did you know this? Number one, when he left, 1492, he didn't know where he was going. Secondly, when he got there, which was the New World, he didn't know where he was. Third one. The third one. He didn't know how to get back. So he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where he was. And he didn't know how to get back. I said, many think that's life. That's life. Uncharted. Uncharted waters. Ready? In what has been shared regarding the table, conviction brings commitment. In the environment we are in here this morning, worship, which was beautiful worship, Docky, and your team, beautiful worship. Thank you. Beautiful worship. We've been to the table. Thank you, Dr. Joy. Pastor Jared announcing the events with the week ahead. You're in an environment which allows conviction to come to you. Conviction brings commitment. Attendance doesn't. It doesn't. That's why I said, are you ready? Are you ready? This is uncharted for a lot of people. People feel attending is sufficient. No, it's not. Conviction brings commitment. That's what brings you here next week. That's what will bring you here for what we do in the month of February. I've noticed this with the prayer network, which the Lord put this together around our lives. And I thought, well, I'm too old for this. I began to realize a lot of the younger ministry, a lot of younger people I'm working with, I say this respectfully, that you're hungering for something. But it has to be the right, you have to have the right diet. You have to hunger after God. You have to hunger after His presence. You have to hunger after His word. And in commitment, you have perseverance. Perseverance brings discipline. As you persevere after God, it brings a discipline in your person to show up. The tiredness, the weariness, this, that, the other thing, that does not take any place in your life once you are a person who has perseverance. I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve God. We will serve God. And in the prayer network, which is this month is a big month because we're getting prayer at the end here for Ann and I. This is a big month, putting a lot of pieces together. We have pastors coming in from Spain, and then we're going to other parts to get things together by the end of this month. We have a lot of things that need to tie together to bring people, leaders, to a place of prayer where they will believe God and they will trust God and walk with God and understand God to move in a given area of their life that will set them free from the bondages and the work of the enemy against their life. That's for all of us. We need God. It comes by conviction, which brings us a commitment to prayer. I'm going to pray, God. That brings a perseverance. Perseverance will bring a discipline in your life. The house of God is number one. Not number two. Not number three. It's number one. Being together with God's people. The New Testament is about the body of Christ being together and serving God. The table, when you what? Come together. And that is a very important aspect. Now, let me go through this part with you. I'll say this is an introduction for you this morning. It is the will that ultimately makes each individual choice. It's the will. It is the will that does this. It is the will that chooses to yield to temptation or to say no. It's the will. Our wills determine our moral destiny. As a Christian, I put moral destiny, I have it worded this way, so you'll understand me. My moral destiny is very important with God, how I walk through life with God. My will determines that. What I give myself to, how I determine to walk. The will controls our character and our conduct. You have a decision to make. Here's the truth, the Word of God. Here's the redemptive act that has been performed for you. So we're all in this environment this morning. All of us. Me too. My world controls my character. How do I live? Don't want to do that? That is not a good idea, Barry. Also, controls our conduct, how you act, how you treat each other, how you go through life, how you respond. It's your will. Is your will submitted? That the military word, perhupo, to come under the authority of the scriptures. You look at Jesus in the New Testament. He answered them not a word. That took character and conduct put together. And in his will, he could have snuffed them, to put it in Irish terms. But he didn't do it. I want to give you a basic outline. This is only basic. That's why I put the little red asterisk there. A basic outline of how we function in life's events. So now, this is only basic. This, I've done this just to help us understand where we are going to go from, how we're going to get here. Four areas I'm going to highlight with you here. Four areas that we can open up and look into. We have the mind. You have the emotions. You have the conscience. And you have the will. The will is actually number four in your life. Not number one. It's number four. The first thing is the mind. What controls your mind? The Bible says, and this verse has all been one of contention, that to look upon a woman is just to lust. There are four steps that actually bring you into lust. You look at the Ferrari, oh, I'm lusting. Well, you can't afford a Barry to start with, but a lust. That doesn't work. The mind determines how your emotions are going to function. Not respond. How they're going to function. Oh, that's beautiful. Then the conscience comes into play. Is it right or is it wrong? You're redeemed. The conscience. People don't like to listen to the conscience. They say, oh, get behind me, Satan. It's not the devil. It's God speaking. Fourth thing is the will. Will I or will I not? In the environment this morning, what's in your mind? What controls your mind? Because that will determine your emotions. In your mind, you can make a decision. God, I want to know you. In your mind, so your mind can take you to scriptures. Your emotions can be stirred as you go to the scriptures. Your conscience can be quickened and your will can be directed. As Christians. And in the power of God being manifest in this, it's very important. Now, watch this. Read carefully the next two slides. Just read these carefully with me, okay? Now, look, that's why I want to go back. I'll go over it again. But watch first. Vision. That which I desire to achieve. People speak, I need vision. That's what you desire to achieve. We need vision. That's your desire. That's what you desire to attain to. That's what I desire to see take place. Let me stop you there a moment. Before you get to vision, there's another part of your life you need to look at, because in many aspects of vision never being fulfilled, it is tied into this next slide. It's tied into this. You ready? Destiny, that which I can achieve. You know what's written in your heart. Your destiny is written in your members, not vision. Vision, self-made. Destiny, God-made. You can follow this through. Let's say this is an introduction, so. The appetizer. My destiny is what I can achieve. Many years ago, when God first spoke to me and I began to enter into the realm of ministry and to the whole function of ministry, I believe God put things in my heart which I could achieve back in the 70s. I believed that we could take teams through this nation. We didn't have these churches. We didn't have these lovely facilities. This was a dream. We rented places, and they were freezing days like this. There was no central heating. But I believe that by doing what we did in 75, 74, 75, and 73, 74, 75, those years, I believe that God honored us up and down through this nation with music teams and worship teams. People just came in the doors and got saved. Do you remember it, Lula? Just walked in. What's lovely? Who's playing that music? Oh, what is it? It's about Jesus. Can I know him? That was the level of our doctrinal knowledge. That was it. That was the sum total. Yeah, you can. Come to a pray. Hundreds get saved. Many of them among men, women then, are in ministry today. They're older now, like myself. That's destiny. And when your destiny, which is written in your members, comes alive in you, then it's a different thing, because the vision, that is what I desire to see out of what I know lies within me. What is your destiny? Where are you going? How are you handling life? What does life mean to you? I encourage you, be in the house of God to fulfill your destiny. Social media. Today is creating a world where people are making decisions based on what is happening around them instead of what lies within them. I read an article recently, because why I'm putting it something, I looked at it, I couldn't believe it. 3 million people, it said, had highlighted this, or whatever you call it. I'm not going to go into what it was. But this woman affected 3 million people. And everybody, they thought, oh, this is wonderful. I didn't read 3 million. I read 2 or 3 of them, that was enough. 3 million? That's your world. It's dangerous. That's what I'm saying about the principalities and the powers. It's what people are looking at what's happening. I downloaded it. I've had young pastors tell me they've downloaded this message. They downloaded this message. They downloaded this thought. They downloaded this program. They downloaded this vision. I said, well, what lies within you? And they're struggling to answer. That's why we need to go to prayer. Our churches, our leaders, we need prayer. We all need prayer. I need it. Anne needs it. Pastor Jared, Sister Pam, the leaders, the elders, oversight. We need it. Why? Because what lies around me is not what's within me. When I look around me, I don't like a lot of it. But what's happening is it's leading to a loss of the individual's personal destiny, creating an unreal environment. A generation living in an unreal environment. One person posting something, and then after hundreds of thousands of years, confessing they had made it up. Maria, all that you get on social media is not truth. Unreal environment. Margaret Silf is an ordained, this woman at the bottom, she's an ordained Anglican ministry of some kind in England, but she always has amazing quotes. Our choices in life become companions we have to live with. I like that. Our choices in life become companions we have to live with. Many years ago, I had a young man, when I was pastoring, come into my office, and he had come to Christ, beautiful salvation. He had this, let me classify it on this term to keep everything in a more moral context here. He had disfigured his body. He looked at me tearfully. He said, Pastor, do you think the Lord could replace that? Do you think the Lord could put that back again? It would have taken, let's call it cosmetic surgery. But it wasn't going to do it, not 40 years ago. I said to them, I said, you know something? There's a man in the Bible called Jacob. He wrestled with an angel. His previous life had been a deceiver, liar, cheat, etc., 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 like all of us. He was a deceiver. He wrestled with the angel, and whatever the purpose and providential plan of God was, the angel touched his hip, the strongest part of his body. The strongest part of the body. Left him with a limp. Many years later, Jacob was deceived by his own family. Sowing and reaping. I said, and he went before a man called Pharaoh. He stood before a Pharaoh and he said, long and troublesome have been my years. But I said, he had the opportunity to stand before the most powerful king at that time in the world and give a testimony while on a limp on his stick. I said, I don't know about the part that's been disfigured. Let me pray for you that God would do a miracle for you in this matter. But I said, my feeling for you is you have one of the most powerful testimonies that you can take and say, well, look what God allowed me to go through, and I have come through it, and here's my heart, my spirit, my mind, my emotions. I will serve the Lord before Pharaoh, before an ungodly world, and I'll do it in a right spirit. You make a choice. It becomes your companion. You have to go through life sometimes with things you've decided to do before you came to saving grace, before whatever. You've got the companion. I pray God does the miracle, but I leave that with God. I'm going to stop there, but just want to highlight where we're going to go. In the Garden of Eden, our reason or our understanding was darkened. It was darkened. And that's a whole other part of the series that I want to look at to lift the darkening, or the dark, not the darkness, but the darkening that has come across your life. I want to lift it off you. Depressiveness, obsessive, argumentative, disruptive, unforgiving. It's our understanding. In our prayer network, this month I'm going to be emphasizing with them, those that we have coming in from Spain to stay with the Flanders Shannon today. I'm going to emphasize the power of God. What I'm sharing with you. You have to pray like this. We have to pray that God's going to move. Our government needs it. Our churches need it. Our leaders need it. Our Taoiseach, our president, our government, our community, our society. We have a responsibility that God can give us the power to lift the darkness. Maranatha, be a testimony in this community beyond that which you ask or think. Amen. Amen. Siva and Emmanuel and maybe David, Pastor, would you come and pray with Anne and I? I'd like you to pray with us. Would you stand as a church? And David and Yvonne, or just come and join us. Yes, come and pray. We want you to pray with us. We need, Anne has a few thoughts. That just come on up, please. Stand with us. That we need God to come. Yeah, come and, you okay? Just come and join us. A few thoughts that we need clarified regarding moving prayer forward into Europe. Because the reason I'm asking for prayer is, it's not like with Pastor Jared and I, we know each other. We walk together. If we have an argument, we don't fall out. I let him pay the bill anyway. And there's a friendship. But when you're working with people that you don't always know at that level, and we're putting a lot of energy and effort into things, that you got to be careful that we're all on the same page. Matter of fact, we're all in the same book. So I'm asking for you to raise your hand as a congregation towards us, and I'll leave it with you here if you grab a mic. And two or three of you just pray, lay hands on us, and ask God to give us wisdom for this month right through to the very end, because it's just a lot has got to come together.
Yes, Father God, we just pray for wisdom for Barry and Ann, Lord. You're the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Lord. You have all the wisdom and all the knowledge, Lord. And it's at your discretion you can give it to those who you choose, Lord. We ask you to bless Barry and Ann now in this month, Lord. Yes, give them supernatural wisdom, supernatural knowledge for this month. And to drop the things that you don't want them to be at, Lord. And just highlight the things that you want them to be at, Lord. And you give them that blessing, Lord, that they need, Lord. And we just ask you for supernatural power this coming month, Lord.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. You said when two or three shall agree as to touching anything, it shall be done for them. This morning, the whole church, we stand in agreement for Pastor Barry and Ann. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for your wisdom for them. Clarity of vision, we pray. Even the things that they have to decipher, I pray in the name of Jesus. Move them by your spirit. Open up things to them in the name of Jesus. Guide them by your eye. In the name of Jesus, they will make the right decisions in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your power. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your calling on Barry and Ann's lives at this time. Lord, we know that you have called them out for a purpose. Lord, anything that you ordain will always be brought in full fulfillment. Lord, we just ask your protection over them, Lord, that nothing would interfere in this matter, Lord. That your will be done, Lord, and your desires and your decisions will be carried through them. Lord, we just ask your blessing on Anne in Jesus' precious name.
Lord Jesus, we come to you, Lord God. We raise Anne and Barry to you as they seek direction. Lord, we pray that they will learn to hear your voice. And Lord, they will trust the process, Lord God. Whatever it may be, wherever you're leading them, that they will trust you and they will know that voice is you. Yes. Lord, your word says your sheep hears your voice. Yes. Lord, let it be clear, Lord, to them. Yes. Let it be clear. We will live in a day where everything is unclear. But Lord, we ask for your direction. We ask for your wisdom. Lord, we above all, we ask for you to lead and direct them. And bless them, Lord. Remove any barriers that comes their way. And Lord, let your hand of protection protect them, Lord, as every step of the way. And bless them. Let them be a blessing to whatever they're working towards for many years more to come.
Yes, Lord, we just pray for their protection, Lord. We pray against any sickness, disease, injury, and harm, Lord, that may prevent. Provide in, Lord, your word, Lord. We just pray for simplicity, Lord. Nothing complicated.
That's right.
And we just pray the benediction over Barry and Anne and all who are among this congregation, that may the Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
May his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
Beautiful.
And may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
There you go.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, in advance for your favor, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all the prayers that have been lifted up, Lord, for Barry and Ann this morning, Lord. And in advance, Lord, we thank you for your will to be done in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just in closing, let me just say something. Ann dropped a thought in my mind just the other day. As ladies, you often do. It's wonderful. I'm not going to, but ask in your prayer, when you're praying, okay? Ask the Lord to help me to understand how this could be done.
Now, is there anyone in the congregation that would like to pray that the Lord would put a word in their mind? There's an open mic here for you now if you want to pray for Barry and Ann. Maria.
Yes, Lord, we continue to pray, Lord, for wisdom, for understanding. Lord God, even as according to your word, Lord, give them understanding on what they ought to do, like the sons of Issachar. give them understanding on what Israel ought to do, meaning the church. Lord, whatever you have given them in their heart, Lord God, you are the one who give wisdom. Father, we pray, even as you said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask from God who gives liberally without finding fault. Father, give them wisdom without finding fault. In Jesus' name, amen.
Anybody? The word that came to me was, when we were praying there, preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yeah. Amen. Do join us for a cup of tea and one biscuit to each person in the house. You're on a diet. God bless.